Just see. We've got a group of surfers here. Well, a second group of surfers. We already have a group of surfers.
Amen.
Amen. Carol's husband's also a big surfer. Used to be. Always when he drives to Walvis Bay, he emails me and tells me if Guns is cooking or not. How nice is that? Anyway, we've got a group of surfers here. Reese, can you come forward? They're from, everybody's from Western Cape or Cape Town. And they are here for this week. There are Christians that serve. Yes, Christians do serve. But Rhys is just going to tell us what who they are and what they're going to do this week. Because they surface with a mission, and that's to bring the Word of God. So Rhys, thank you for driving all the way. Welcome.
Great. Firstly, I've just got to say it is good to be in the Father's house, even though we are so far away from our own homes. But it is very good. So thank you, Theo, for this opportunity just to be here and everything. Right, my name is Rhys, and we are from an organization called Christian Surfers. Basically, the aim of Christian Surfers is to be a Christian witness and a Christian presence to the surfing community. Now, all over the world, there are movements of surfers, but in lots of places, these surfers aren't Christians. So many years ago, a few guys got together and they started thinking, look, I'm passionate about surfing, you're passionate about surfing, but we're Christians. Let's go talk to these other surfers who are not saved about Jesus. And Paul says we must be all things to all men. So they've taken that, and there's actually an international movement with lots of national missions or national organizations which their sole aim is to reach surfers. And one of the core strategies is to be international about it and to go to countries where they don't know of people who are intentionally reaching surfers. There are many churches around the world which reach lots of other groups of people, but we are specifically Christian surfer focused. So this week we've come up with a few people, and our aim is to partner alongside your church. And we're going to be, tomorrow we'll be at Arandas, the ministry out there, so we're going to be working with them, running a kids program. Then on Tuesday and Wednesday, we're going to be at the school, I think it's a high school. We're going to be doing some schools ministry, sharing our testimonies, where we've come from, also doing kind of a lesson on decisions that they can make and what they'll be faced with. And on a follow-up to that, on Friday afternoon, we're going to be doing free surf lessons, for mainly for the high school kids, but if you want to come, you're welcome to. If you've got kids, bring them along. I'm not 100% sure where we'll be doing it yet, so speak to Theo, and I'll be in contact with Theo. But yeah, so we want to share the joy of surfing, and through that build relationships with those people who hopefully aren't in church, and through that relationship, invite them to church, share Jesus with them. Then Friday night, I believe we'll be running youth. We'll be doing games, we'll be sharing a whole bunch of stuff. We're actually quite looking forward to that, doing a series of media series called On the Rocks. And then Saturday we'll be running a surf competition for the locals. So we're really here to serve the community, not just only the surfers, but your church and other people, and be involved, and through that connect with surfers while we're here. And we hope that this becomes a long-term thing, and that we see, even though it's a small community of surfers here, we would love, and we have a passion to see more of them saved for Jesus. So yeah, that's what we'll be here doing this week. And yeah, just thank you for the opportunity again.
I mean, so, and also, we need to intercede for waves for Saturday. We're going to have prayer and fasting for waves for Saturday. But anyway, maybe that's what God wants us to do, is pray for waves. And so we'll have the competition on Saturday, which we're going to invite all the surfers. We were quite pleasantly surprised that most of them are very open to a competition and stuff like that. We thought they might not be, but there are even the old school guys. And then the Saturday evening, we're going to have a movie night at Chris Nell's place, which is, we're not going to, the one guy when I phoned him, let me tell you this, they always ask me, so who's this group? I said, no, it's Sunsurf, Christians. So I said, oh, so do I have to come to church on Sunday? I said, no, but I don't know what, I made a stupid joke just to calm them down. But so Saturday evening we'll have the movie night, which we'll also give out the prizes. Stefano's there, has found his calling, it seems. He's been getting the sponsorships for us, and so we'll have the prize giving on Saturday evening, where we'll invite, we can't force them to come. The local surfers will have a braai, and then we'll show a movie, which is a Christian movie. So this is definitely going to be one of our prayer points on Tuesday morning, to pray for this thing, you know, so that we know all these surfers, we know who know God and who does not, but we really have a heart to see them come to Jesus. Amen. And what else? Oh, they'll also be joining some of the small groups during the week. Right. And they surfed guns this morning. I can't believe that. I just have to say that. I can't believe it. Anyway, I want to preach on something called, you have to help me out here. I'm not an end time type of a dude that knows everything about the end times, but I watched just a short clip on TVN of this guy that spoke about the end times, and he really spoke well. You know, it's not the, I mean, the guy was just very presentable, and when he spoke about the end times, and wasn't shouting at me and telling me the end is going to come now, but he was going to told us in a nice way the end is coming soon, which just made me think a little bit. What he said, but was so nice. His whole, the summary of the thing is, because when people talk about the end times, the tendency is that you leave there frightened and shivering and fearful that you don't, you know, that God's going to come now and all that stuff. And what he said is, we don't have to be afraid. As Christians, we can actually look forward to it. Because I know that there's different beliefs, but Scripture says that we as Christians will be saved from the wrath, meaning we will be also opgeraapt word. What is it, raptured? Before all this stuff happens. Anyway, so the spirit of this world. Now, what one can see nowadays in the world, and that's why you must help me, I'm not so technical about these things, but is that the world, there's also scripture that says in the end, the bad will become worse and the nice will become better, basically. That's what it says. And one can see that in life nowadays. I mean, you can see it in TV. You can switch on every TV, any TV channel, and the soapies that they have nowadays. I mean, back in 15 years ago, Igoli was the thing, you know, and it was at least clean soapies. Now you have got just soapies full of sex and, you know, whatever. Everything that's not supposed to be in there that everybody's watching. So one can clearly see in the world that it's moving like this. There's a clear divide between good and bad. And one of the things that, well, I want to preach on is this, the spirit of the world. And I can summarize my sermon, which I always does, but is that we should not become, as Christians, become contaminated with the things that happen in this world. And it's becoming more aggressive. But yet Scripture says we don't have to become contaminated. But it's a tricky thing. I mean, I don't know if I should call it tricky, but it's not so easy because we're bombarded by this stuff left, right, and center. But Scripture says we can walk out of this uncontaminated. Okay? And the reason I'm preaching on this, because I can see sometimes my thinking and my whatever is influenced by this thing. I'm drawn sometimes, and hopefully not with everything, but sometimes I'm drawn towards a side, and if I really think about it and pray about it, then I say, no, but this is the wrong side. So as Christians, we are influenced by it. That's my child. There she goes. Shame, man. By the way, I just want to tell the worship team, you sounded just like the DVD clip. No pressure, okay? When is the worship evening? Next, okay. Next week. I thought it was tonight. But all right. 1 John 4, verse 3 to 6. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming now, and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If I can just go up there one more. It says, the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. So when Jesus said this 2,000 more years back, he said that spirit's already here. But I believe that thing is intensifying. And we must be, our eyes must be spiritually awake so that we just see what's happening around us and stay uncontaminated. If I can define this, it sounds very spooky, huh? If I can define this spirit, is that it basically goes against everything that the Holy Spirit stands for. It's everything, it goes against everything that God stands for. I should not go ahead of my sermon, but you know, there's no other spirit that's called the Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. All the other spirits have got names, or I don't know what they're called. They've got intentions, plans, purposes, but none of them are called holy. So this spirit of the world goes in against everything that the Holy Spirit stands for. Galatians 5. Are you still with me? All right. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. These couple of scriptures tells you that there's this war between the two things. And now we're Christians here, most of us, I guess. So I'm talking to us. I'm not talking to somebody here this morning purely that doesn't know God yet. We must understand that that war is even going on sometimes here in us. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. Now that scripture talks to me, these things actually cannot mix. The one says you must get out, and the other one says you must get out. It's something in our lives that we must sort out to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Now think of a soapy and read this. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. There's a movie called Envy. It's quite a funny movie. But, okay. Drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I can just tell everyone here that's going to become a father. Or every one of those gets tested when you have your little baby. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Yeah. Imagine if you get twins. Who's it? It's one guy. He's now a pastor in Stellenbosch. They had two children and they wanted one more. They got a twin. Ben took the same thing. Okay, no, they had twins. First time. There is this one surfer. I shouldn't talk too loud. His wife also got pregnant. And when they saw it was twins, he didn't speak to his wife for 2 days. I don't think he was rude. I just think he was contemplating finances, life, surfing, gone. Now they're actually going to Bali. Not Bali, some other place. With the whole family. So it can be done. Don't worry. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So, okay, I think these scriptures are clear. But the things that come up, and I was speaking to Heidi, she always helps me with my sermons. You know, stuff like envy and greed and those things. I just want to use an example here, and hopefully I don't step on anybody's toes here. But before I say that, I believe it is the husband and the man's role in a marriage to provide for that family. That is his duty. That's what God says. So I'm not against that or anything like that. But what I've sometimes seen now is two people want to get married, and then this greed thing comes in, where the wife, please don't crucify me after I've said this, but they check the wrong criteria before they choose if this is my man or not. The criteria that we start looking at is, does he have enough money? So I know the husband should provide, but what I'm saying is your criteria should not be, does he have enough money? Then it's contamination, if you understand what I'm saying. You should look at the man, and it goes vice versa. You should look at the woman and say, does this woman serve God? Does this man serve God? Listen to what God is saying. Not, does he have enough money? But you see, we get contaminated by this stuff, and then it becomes, God's not happy with sometimes how we operate. You know, I'm so blessed with my wife. It's because I didn't have a mansion and 20 cars, but she still chose me. Because, amen. Because she was spiritually open, connected, whatever, but she wasn't contaminated by the stuff of this world. And we just sometimes have to realign what we're thinking and how we judge people and see, but am I a bit contaminated? Is there a bit of greed coming in here or whatever? Are you with me? So these things can, I also always have to say that the devil doesn't come knocking on your door and he says, morning, I'm the devil, can I come in? No, he comes in without you knowing it. And before you know, he slipped in somewhere, some idea in your life, and now you're suffering. And that's why scriptures, you know, one can say it in a nice way, but you can just, or in a bad way, scripture says, the wages of sin is death. Now we think, Pastor, you can't say stuff like that. What it means is, when we work, we get our wages. If sin is in your life, what the reward that you will get is death. That's what it means. It means you'll get spiritual death. You'll get emotional death. So God doesn't want to be nasty. He's just telling us the truth. And these things, now you get married with that rich husband, but he doesn't serve God. Now the pawpaw hits the fan 3 years after you've married because you were contaminated. Your criteria. I'm now hammering on this one example, but I just think it's a good example. And I've seen it. The pawpaw hits the fan 3 years after. You've chosen the wrong man because our criteria were wrong. Amen? I must smile. Don't worry. It's all right. John 15, verse 15 to 20. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. Then verse 19, it says, but because you are not of this world. Now, I don't know when you were in school, but if you're in school, when one grows up and you're like the biggest, tallest oak, you're like a foot taller than everybody, you're always the odd one out. I wasn't like that. But I know that they also get the comments and, woo, jy's groot. En, hoekom jy's so groot? Jy paar jaar gedryp of sulke goed. No, but it's, you never feel good when you're that odd one out. You don't want to be an odd one out, especially when it's teenage years somewhere. You just want to fit, you want to be average and fit in somewhere. And not be uncool and not be too cool, I don't know what. But this scripture basically says, we're going to be the odd one out. Live with it. But because you are not of this world. So, we can be peaceful and we must be peaceful, but I just know that every now and then, my moral convictions is going to bump with the world somewhere and I'm going to be the odd one out. But that's something that we can make peace with. It's not that we must be obnoxious and bash people over the head with the Bible and what scripture says, but every now and then we're just going to feel like the odd one out. You know, you even in surfing yard, you guys can tell you lots of stories, but when I came here like 5 years ago, it was me and my wife that were Christian servers, I guess. I don't know. But so we fitted in nicely. Now there's a lot of other Christian surfers, and the things that I hear sometimes is like, oh, here comes the church clique, you know, when we rock up at guns, oh, is it church clique? They're going to serve. So then you do feel a bit like the odd one out. But anyway, the scripture says, get over it. It also says what the heading there, that it, the two doesn't mix. We cannot mix. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit, who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. I like this scripture, okay, because firstly it speaks there, we've received the Holy Spirit, holy, 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 holy. And then it says that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts so lavishly bestowed on us by God. And this is the thing that when we meet with people and they don't know God, we don't fight about it. We're sad about it because they have not comprehended the spiritual gifts, the gifts that God has given us. That's what that scripture says. We have the Holy Spirit and God has bestowed it on us lavishly. We've got peace, we've got joy, and they can't have it because the two can't mix. And the spirit of this world can't give you joy and peace. So if we approach people, let's not scream at them and tell them they're wrong. You know, we pray beforehand for them. Because like this scripture says, we actually just want them to experience what we have. And that is an abundant life with Jesus Christ, where there is joy, love, and peace. And love and peace and joy doesn't mean you have the biggest mansion. It's great if you have it. I read Ecclesiastes again. Basically, all he says is, listen, because it's Solomon that wrote it, and he was apparently very rich. But he says, just make sure that if you're rich, enjoy it at least. And God has got nothing against it if you're rich. So joy and peace doesn't go hand in hand with that stuff. But that is what we must bring to the world. Amen. Are you still with me? I just made a comment here. I'm very perplexed. Yes, my wife told me my English has improved since I've been preaching so much. Huh? Perplexed, that's a big word. But you see these documentaries on TV. And it's, what's the one called? Ultimate Survival or something like that. So the guy goes to a tribe in the middle of nowhere, and he lives with them for like a month or something. But part of, there's a couple of those series. And part of what they always do is they want to experience their spirituality as well. So then they take their drugs and their voodoo and whatever, and they're like, wow, I've connected with these people, connected with them spiritually also. But go to that same person and tell him, can I talk to you about Jesus? And it's like, oh, you're old school, dude. You know, it's weird, but they open for any spiritual thing under the sun. And it doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't bless anybody. But you want to tell them about Jesus, that's good. And spirit, you want to talk to them about real spiritual stuff? Closed. I don't understand that. It's like, then they tell us we're old school and we're conservative and we know nothing. We are just the spiritual. In front of our spirit stands holy. Holy Spirit. There's this clip, man. I think we showed that DVD where Christians went into this New Age meeting, whatever. It was where all the New Age and even occultic stuff. And they went there and they prayed for this man who was a guru, like a New Age guru or something. And they prayed for him. And this guy got saved right there. And the guy told him, while he was praying for him, he said, listen, you want to accept Jesus Christ? He said, no, I already did. Somewhere, the Holy Spirit spoke to him just there, and he said, no, I'm seeing now Jesus Christ is the one. I accept him. Isn't that amazing? I love that. But that guy could, with all his spirituality, could realize, oh, there's a Holy Spirit, that, and there's a God that died for me, and I must accept him. Okay, where am I going? John 14 verse 17, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jude 17 verse 17 to 23. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the spirit of this world. And here in verse 19, it speaks of these ungodly people, passions, worldly people. And then it tells you basically afterwards how not to get influenced by it. What do you do? It's just one of the things, but I want to talk about it. One of the things that we can do and should do, it says there, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Yes, we're a charismatic church. We believe in that. It's one of the things that we can do. Sometimes, you know, stuff goes wrong in our lives and we don't know what's wrong. And I'm so blessed, glad, that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm special. Any one of you here that's not filled with the Holy Spirit, we can pray for you today if you open your heart to receive the Holy Spirit. But I'm so blessed that I have it at that time, because that's when I always tell people, that's my spiritual gym. Sometimes I don't even pray like stuff that I understand, you know, I don't pray, Lord, bless me with this and help me that work goes all right. Sometimes I don't know what to pray for, and then I pray in the Spirit. And as this scripture says, it builds me up. And it's something I actually must just do more, like I used to do. Every day I prayed in the Spirit. And Paul says, I pray in the Spirit more than all of you together. He knew the power of praying, because that's when we become full of the Holy Spirit, the rest must go out. There's a term called mutually exclusive. It means it's either this one or that one. If you pray in the Holy Spirit, if you stay close to God, spend time with God, it's not like you even have to think about the other stuff leaving. It leaves. Amen. All right. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Let me go on. Jude 1:19. I'm just reading here from the Amplified. It is these who are agitators, setting up distinctions and causing divisions. Merely sensual creatures, carnal, worldly-minded people, devoid of the Holy Spirit and destitute for any higher spiritual life. If we talk to people, we don't talk to them as if they are stupid and they don't want to accept Jesus Christ. What we must see in the Spirit, because then you will do it with compassion, you see somebody that is destitute and actually just wants a higher spiritual life, if I can call it. That's what the scripture says. We just see somebody that's devoid of the abundance of Jesus Christ. I hate it when we start screaming at people and we want to tell them they must accept Jesus Christ. It doesn't work like that. Jesus didn't scream at anybody. Jesus had compassion on prostitutes. Prostitutes got saved. He didn't preach at them. Somehow, he was just so full of the Holy Spirit when he spoke to her and he spoke forgiveness over her. She gave her life to God and she went on and served him. So let's see people with the right goggles almost. I want to see bad sinners in this church. Amen. The worst. We want the worst in here. Jesus wants the worst and the best. Titus 2 verse 12. It has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness, irreligion, and worldly passionate desires, to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in the present world. So, I know, I understand that we struggle with things in our lives. And the last thing I want you to walk out here with is like, oh, this world, worldly pressure, the spirit of the world is going to be too much. No, the scripture says it does not have to be too much. It says here that you can still be self-controlled, devout, and you can have a whole spiritual life in this world. It's like that scripture says, you're not of this world. So you can live in this world and be pure and uncontaminated. So it is possible. You know, we actually have it easy. There's some people that I met, this lady, she was here. She's in Swakop. I don't know if they're still here. But just because she had to, poor lady, she had to work in a bar. Now, what I'm trying to say is that some people have it a lot tougher than we have. They're constantly surrounded. You know, if you think of, if you go to Thailand where all that sexual immorality is or whatever, and there's just a poor lady, she just needs to survive. Yeah, I mean, she can't move nowhere, but she's surrounded by this stuff. The scripture speaks to her, says, listen, lady, Holy Spirit's with you. You can be pure. Colossians 2 verse 8. Is everybody still with me? It's so quiet. I told Wolfgang this morning that if you preach at one place all the time, your jokes run out. Now there's at least new guys here. Maybe I can make old jokes. But then he said, "Ach, don't worry, Thea. Your jokes have never kept me awake anyway." So I knew he said that in love. I hope so. I'll have to go and Google some jokes again. See to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes you yourselves captive by this so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, idle fancies and plain nonsense. Following human tradition, men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual will, just crude notions, following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe. That's too much. That's just too much. Let me start over. See to it that no one carries you off by so-called philosophy and intellectualism, vain deceit, idle fancies, and plain nonsense. I get very upset. Or let me start like this. You can look at Reinhard Bonnke, any big evangelist, and I mean, it's evident that God's hand is on those people. Sweet and simple, the gospel. Jesus died for your sins. He resurrected. He's giving it to you as a gift. Take it. That's gospel. But now sometimes, I mean, I saw these clips. I don't know, it was just long ago. It's like every month there's a new spiritual something. I mean, in church. And it's like, this guy, now you have to connect with my angel. Have you heard this stuff? And then there's like a whole, everybody runs to that part of the world. Man, the scripture says, if it becomes too complicated, just check it out. Because it's actually very easy. And that's what the moment we become too complex. And we need to, and this, I want to say that God is complex in a nice way. There's so much to learn from Him. But the pure line, the thread of the gospel is easy to understand for everybody. So when it becomes too complicated and it's this angel and that angel, I say nonsense. I'm sorry, I just say it. Nonsense. I don't go there. I don't want to go there. Jesus doesn't want to go there because Jesus wants to get people saved. He doesn't want to talk about angels and angels through me. And there's stuff like this, you know. And that I said it last week. Then now some non-Christians look at this and say, you church people, you're a bunch of weirdos. They actually write sometimes. Anyway, that's another. Balter said I must preach on this steadfastness again. I'll do it. The bottom line is, it's easy. Jesus Christ is not difficult to understand. He's complex in His beauty and in His love and everything, but He's easy to understand. He doesn't make it difficult. I'm going to skip the next scripture. Philippians 2 verse 15. That you may show yourselves to be blameless and guiltless, innocent and uncontaminated, children of God without blemish, faultless, unrebukable in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright light stars or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world. That is a nice mouthful. Unrebukable in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation. Maybe that goes hand in hand with what I said last week. Sometimes the most effort we have to put into our lives is just say, Lord, am I living a holy conduct? What does that sinner say of me? Because then we can start becoming spiritual. Otherwise, you know, we have to be above reproach. And we all make mistakes. I made mistakes, but anyway, guiltless, innocent, and uncontaminated, among whom you are seen as bright light stars or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world. What I also believe is happening and should be happening in a time like this when we said there's like a split in the road. And it's good and bad and the two are just going that way. Is that we think church must be a lighthouse. Church must be a place that I like it when people, you know, sometimes they don't want to believe in church or anything, but it has happened and I like that because that shows us we're doing something right. But then when the wheels come off in somebody's life, then they phone us, or, you know, and then they want to talk to us. That's great. We must trust God for more of that. But church shouldn't be a place, you know, I don't know what people think of us anymore, but it must be a place where they say, you know, if you want, I don't know, peace, somebody that just loves you, somebody that doesn't bash you over the Bible and 10 scriptures when you come in there, just somebody that loves you even if you've fallen 20 times, that's what church must be. That's what our meetings must be. That's what we can pray for when we, even our outreach with the surface, you know. My wife has got a gift with us. She talks to somebody they don't know from a bar of soap. Can I say that? Yeah. And it's not long and then they blurt out the whole emotional life right there in front of her. Somehow they pick up that you can talk to this lady and she's going to protect you and that she loves you just the way you are. You can be New Age, Buddhist, she doesn't care. She likes you. There's just something of God working through there. And that's what we should be. Uncontaminated, holy people want to run to us. And we can be. We are like that. You know, like Umdena said, God smiles about us. Even with this sermon, he smiles over us. He says, you're my church. I'm going to do it through you. Nobody else. You. You're the guys. All right. I'm almost finished. I just want to throw this one in. So there are certain things that we must put to death in our lives. And this one is sometimes a little bit of a curveball to someone, to some people. It was a curveball to me when I was younger. Colossians 2 verse 20. If with Christ you died to the eternal spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? If I can just summarize what that scripture means. To be uncontaminated, to not be contaminated by the spirit of this world, but be holy, doesn't mean we become religious and, traditional or whatever. And this scripture was saying, listen, I actually freed you from this world. Why are you falling back into all these regulation stuff? I want a relationship with you. I don't want you to obey 50 little things and tithe of your salt and pepper or whatever. I want your heart. I want your life. That's why we always said, it's a bit scary when you listen to it. You know, Jesus says, I give you this gift for free. But you know what? It costs you your life. But it's nice. When I got saved, long ago, I had this big bush of hair. It didn't fall. It just went like this. I wanted it to look like this, but it didn't. Anyway, so one of my biggest duties, like I felt when I became a Christian, is that I'm not going to become boring. Now I completely forgot what I wanted to say. Oh, becoming a Christian doesn't make you a dull little something. And that's something I had to work out of my life, is that I don't have to be religious. And oh, that's what I actually wanted to say. When you know and when you see the heart of God, when you see his love for you and you mess up and he says, Theo, I love you. And you mess up and he says, Theo, I love you. Then you fall in love with him and you want to give him your life. That's what I wanted to say. It costs you a life, but it's nice giving over. It's nice just saying, take it. But it happens every now and then. Oh, and that's when there's things, I'm, Lord, you need to bless me. Money, I don't have enough money. And then he says, Theo, are you in this world or out of this world? What are you? Get peace, man. Pray for peace. I'll look after you. But it's tough. That's when you have to fight for this stuff. You have to fight for your peace. But that's when Jesus says, I want that little bit of world that's still left in you. Come, let me help you get it out. so that you can live with peace even if you don't have money, for instance. But God wants to bless us. Amen. Let's go on. I'm almost finished. Colossians 3 verse 1 to 17. Now, there's so many scriptures. I must skip some of them. But then if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Now, let me just drop in something else here. You know, I guess we make a point of it. We say it's important to spend your quiet time with God and pray. So now what we do and what I've done sometimes, and it's like, Lord, every morning I'm going to wake up and read the Word. It's good to be disciplined, but sometimes if I'm too disciplined and there's no relationship, then the things fall apart anyways. Let me just check what I wanted to say again. I forgot completely. But reading the Word of God, if we can just catch it sometimes, if we do things in the right spirit and with God, it's like it's a snowball effect. It's not like, oh, I have to wake up and read. It's like, amazing. I'm learning of God. I'm seeing His heart. I'm seeing His life. When I'm praying, it's like He speaks to me. That's what He wants. I mean, none of us have a relationship with our wife or girlfriend like that. Oh, it's Friday, 10 o'clock. I must phone her. We've got an appointment to talk now. So we do it with God sometimes, and He says, hey. Where was I? Oh, set your minds on the things that are above. Verse 3. For you have died in your life, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. The scripture is talking about putting to death the old man, and the new man gets resurrected with Christ. That's what Walter is going to do. He's going to get baptized. We're going to hold him down there a little bit longer. And we're going to, Walter, you know, squin. Okay. But that's what baptism symbolizes, is that we die to an old and a new comes up. And we have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. I just want to stop there at verse 13. I get very upset. I know it happens in the world where people tend to, there's a feud between two people and they can't forgive. It happens in families. It just boggles my mind. I don't understand it. Then those families will not talk to each other for years because just of unforgiveness. But I want to say that that stuff does not belong in church. Don't come to me or anybody here because I'm going to rebuke you. Sorry to say. And there's unforgiveness in your heart. No, I don't want to talk to that brother or this brother about that. No, man, get over it. Forgive. That is just so worldly. Get it out of our systems. I hate it when I see unforgiveness. And that's why Jesus says they are being held by the tormentors, those that don't forgive. You're opening yourselves up to demonic influence in your life if there is unforgiveness in your heart. And it's, God is not saying, I'm going to punish you. That's why it's punished. He says, you're out of my control. I can't do anything about it. That's why you're suffering. Forgive. Anyway, there shouldn't be any of that. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen. All right, I'm finished. I just want us to close our close our eyes and then I want to pray for us. If I can summarize what I wanted to say this morning is that life is going to get tougher in the sense of the world is going to get worse, but we still have to remain in this world and be clean and uncontaminated. But God's word says, and God foreknew everything. He knew how bad it's going to get and how terrible or whatever, how difficult. But he says, you, my church, that's why he calls you a holy and peculiar people. You can be uncontaminated. You can be pure and holy. And this morning, I just want to pray for us as a church, but also individually, that we, that God helps us, that we don't have a mixing in our spirit. Let's call it a mix. That there's not some stuff in our lives where, which is actually not from God. And I just want to tell you that, you know, we suffer, like I said. The wages of sin is death. If we are contaminated, we suffer. Spiritually or emotionally, we suffer. And God doesn't want us to suffer. Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you will just bless the sons of guys, Lord. And I pray for each and every one of those servers that we're reaching out to in Jesus' name, Lord. We pray that, Lord, you will bless our program. You'll bless their program. We pray that plead the blood of Jesus Christ over everyone that's going to come into contact with them, Lord. Father, I thank you that the peace and love and all those good things will go with each and everyone here that go out to you know, minister to people, and they will be able to see it. Father, we pray that we will be able to see each and everyone with goggles, spiritual spectacles, just seeing how this guy, that person is suffering. Lord, pray that you'll give us wisdom and knowledge on how to speak into those areas of pain in people's lives. Lord, give us the keys to unlock things quickly, like you did. You were able to, with the Holy Spirit, just unlock things in people's lives, and then you could draw out that pain in their lives, and they could meet you. And Lord, we want to be like that. I pray that that will happen. Father, I pray that that people will come to salvation, Lord. Some surfers will come to salvation in Jesus' name, Lord. We pray and plead over their lives. They will come to know you, Lord. I thank you for the school things that they're going to do, that kids are going to see that to serve God is exciting. It's completely different. It's uncontaminated. It's pure and holy, but it's so exciting. Lord, I just pray against that that lie that's in front of so many people, where they think they're going to have to change their personality, change their way they are. No, they don't have to. Pray that you'll change that. You'll show them who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just want us to keep our heads bowed.